I'm gonna be at Grandma's house for a little bit. If I
belong,
all will be nothing's gonna bother us. Not anymore. We have our son back. When we are a family again.
I cannot sit in a theater no longer with some 16-year-old girls fucking just engaging it out their vagina. Just creaming it up. I'm just like, God damn, man. If only I was 16 again or whatever, I'd be fucking all these girls in here.
Oh, dear. You had one of those theaters, didn't you?
I saw this at the San Francisco Movie Spoilers Meetup or whatever. It's about seven adults at least or whatever. And the rest was just preteens like a motherfucker.
And they're all ready to be scared, cling on to their men.
It was probably about, because we did this, we met at this bar, we had a little drink, then we was like, let's go to see this movie, whatever. I was like, well, fuck it, I gotta go see it anyway, whatever, for this review. And it was about 10 o'clock at night. I see people coming in with blankets, like bitches was walking around in their pajamas and shit.
Yeah, they are ready to be scared.
I was like, damn, they should have released this on VOD probably then.
Yeah, they are ready to be scared. And they got scared, but I bet you $5 you and I didn't.
Well, that's the thing, though, because once again, I don't get scared in these films because, first of all, you can go along with it. You can go along with any horror film, whatever, if you want to, whatever. I mean, you open up the belief, whatever, and that stuff. Like, you gotta suspend your disbelief, whatever.
Yes.
But when you're watching it with almost 100 fucking people in here, or whatever, and they're...
Oh my god. See,
the one girl was literally doing that in the fucking theater.
See, you need to go with my friend, because this happened in the first movie and it happened in this one too. That almost happened in ours, where a girl screamed it like a creep, like, my friend, shut the fuck up!
Yeah, well, we were drunk. so it was,
oh, well, that'll do it.
So, San Francisco Spoiling Bastards, you guys are one of a kind, because, damn, one of them stuck me a flask in, because I don't know if anybody remember on a previous episode, I said I was going to take a flask in with me or something like that.
Because I know you hated the first one, and this is why this review is going to be interesting, because we have opposite sides on this series.
Now, I don't know if I said I was going to do it on this series. I think I said it on some worse film that was coming up, whatever.
Tyler Perry, we said we were both going to take one in.
So, somebody, and Jake, I'm looking at you. I'm going to go ahead and pull your name out there, bro. This brother brought two flasks in, sat right by me. And halfway the film, he looked over at me and saw this look of disbelief on my face. Like,
see,
this is for you, mate. I looked at him and was like, God, I love you.
See, you guys did it right. After witnessing this, you guys did it right. Because I bet you $5 I know the exact moment he handed you that flask.
It was funny because it was only 5 minutes into the movie.
Oh, never mind. I thought it would be at the twist where it's like, all right, this movie's going full retard. Well, time to get full retard myself.
It felt like it was when the title card pulled up, whatever, and I was like, and they played that music in the background. I was like, Evil Dead ripoff number one. Oh my god, my head was there. That's so annoying.
Let's take a drink for every movie that this rips off of another movie. Evil Dead, Shining, Conjuring. Wow, how did he rip off himself in 3 months?
Oh my god, yeah, exactly. Sinister in some parts.
Sinister.
Exactly. I mean, it was just, I don't know, it was just the title card when I came up. I was like, that's more annoying than it is creepy.
I agree with you. Like, it gets you set for the mood. I'll give it that, but tone it down a bit, guys. Come on now.
I thought with the first film, as much as I hated the film, I thought that at least it went from being simple and straight to getting more ridiculous towards the end. And then with this film, like, he said, fuck it.
And you know what? I gotta be honest. I'm not saying this is a good film by any stretch of the imagination, but that's what I loved about it. It went full on fuck it mode.
That's funny because I remember you said before I think it was the last episode we did, because you were like, it seems like he might fix some of the problems that P1 had with the film.
Oh, hell no.
He went straight onto the problem I had with the first fucking film. I was just sitting there looking like, I remember telling someone, because you know what, like, I only took a sip at the Tyler car, but I think you're getting to the part where you used to, when I took a full big ass gulp, is because I remember looking at the girl that's sitting by me, and I remember telling her it was ever, because we were laughing and talking the whole
time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were just making fun of the film and shit like that, because little girls were screaming and shit like that. And I remember looking at the girl, I forgot your name, I'm sorry, but you know, it'll come up again. And I remember telling her, if the goddamn Ghostbusters show up again, I'm walking out right now.
Why? Okay.
And then they showed up, and I said, you know what, all right, I'm done. And they were like...
All right, before we get any more into our wonderful stories on this, because I think you and I have some... It sounds like we both got good stories about this, because this movie's fucking insane. But let's give a simple plot synopsis here real quick. So this movie picks up immediately after the first one, where Elise, the demon, like the ghost hunter that helped them in the first film, she's dead.
That do fucking psychiatric shit or whatever to the point where you can do astral projection.
Yes, she's dead. And that's where this movie begins. So, the police come in and they're like, well, this is peculiar, but I guess we got a cold case here. Let's just call him Hack of the Day. And Josh Lambert and his whole family is like, look, it's okay. We got a dead bitch in the living room, but it's okay. Everything's going to go back to normal. Meanwhile...
Oh, Robert De Niro and buried that bitch in the backyard or whatever.
Meanwhile...
Can you imagine going to the police telling that? We hired her to help my husband astral project to save our son from this demon world.
And
that
now she's...
I would have looked at her and would have been like, right.
So, where's the noose or the poison?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, but in typical horror fashion, the cops are like, huh, what a peculiar situation, and just
that
leave.
That was such bullshit. They would have arrested
him. That's the thing. Like, as soon as that happens where the cops just leave, I'm like, oh, so this is the movie we're in for. Okay.
It looked like they took Rose Byrne in for interrogation, because it looked like there was an interrogation room. And I was like, where's everybody else? That house was full of people. Shit. Why should Rose Byrne? As a matter of fact, she wasn't even the one that did it.
Yeah, exactly. So, as all this is going on, meanwhile, our other ghost hunters, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, are wondering what the heck happened to their mentor, so they're trying to get to the bottom of this, and...
level Ghostbusters and shit.
Right. And as the family's trying to get back to normal, as you can imagine, some creepy shit starts going on, some creaks, some pianos playing itself for no goddamn reason. And then, this movie turns into The Shining. kind of.
Yeah, actually, no, you're right, it does. It turns into Shining at the end of the, like, once everything gets figured out of what's going on, whatever, it just became a weak version of The Shining, and Jack Nicholson, if he was really retiring, or whatever he's doing these days, whatever, he should have asked to be in this film to replace him, to just pop his head in real quick.
That would have been amazing if the ghost that took over Josh Lambert was Jack Nicholson.
It would have been much better, honestly. It would have been improving. I mean, the film, honestly, was kind of lazy. I mean, they did things like the cheap jump scares. Oh,
yes. That's the
like
first half of this film. I agree with you.
Instead of the door creaking or whatever, let's get this baby stroller or whatever and make this loud-ass fucking music that nobody knows how to turn off for some goddamn reason or whatever. I'm like, Jesus Christ, they're just looking around this thing like they don't even know where the fucking button is in this goddamn thing or whatever. How the fuck could you not know that?
It's a haunted house. It's a fucking haunted house. It's the environment that they set up for the first half of this film. It's what the first film did extremely well, except this one, they kind of had a few missteps with it. Because you're right. It's annoying, and it's too loud, and the sound design on it's just... They go for overkill.
It was annoying. And the first one is more catered... At least the first half of the fucking film is more catered for adults and shit.
Yeah.
This one, they made this shit strictly for teens.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. That's the first half of this film. But... We gotta talk about the twist. Or quote-unquote, the twist.
Yeah, I was about to say quote-unquote. This ain't no M. Night Shyamalan twist or nothing like that, you know?
But, okay, people, here's... This movie's kind of like the first film also, where halfway through, they have a twist. And this is where you either say, okay, fuck this, or this is so batshit insane, I wonder what they're gonna do next. Now, it sounds like this is where you and I differ.
Again. Once again, the only way you're going to enjoy this is if you're a 15-year-old teen or you got a vagina.
Hey!
Goddamn. Yeah, you have one then. Okay. Because, goddamn, did this go full retard. Because, for the simple fact, this is a horror movie. This is not a horror movie at all.
Oh, no. Hell no.
This is some straight-to-DVD bullshit here. This is some... This is... Like, the first hour of this fucking film is a goddamn Paranormal Activity almost in its own way.
Yeah, that's what I really didn't like about it.
I said, good lord. And then, when you find out, once again, I don't know what it is about James Wan and cross-dressing demons.
Yeah, explain this shit.
But, James Wan, you got something to tell us?
So, people... The crazy grandmother that took over Josh's body at the end of the film is a man who's a cross-dresser ghost.
Which freaks... Okay, alright, I'm gonna go ahead and get into this. I understand, because they show a scene in here where the mother is... I think the guy's name is Parker. It was funny because he's making fun of him.
Yes, his name is Parker.
Whenever fucking Josh Lambert in the fucking film picks up a fucking bat and... And they go like, where's my husband? And then we were just making fun of things. And then we just kept yelling out, I'm Patrick. But, which is funny because that's his real name, Patrick Wilson, too. So there's a woman in here that explained, and you see her in the trailer. She's got her mouth wide open like she's ready to suck a dick. And she's pointing. And the little girl that's sitting on the thing turns out to be a dude, which is the cross-dressing man we're talking about. Now, I don't understand what that mother... has to do with this or whatever, as far as her dying and anything like that or whatever.
Okay.
As far as releasing the son, I felt that she was comedic to the point where we didn't need her in the film, and that this cross-dressing murderer or whatever was simplified enough. I guess his whole thing, which I don't know, I don't know if the cross-dresser got married in the black dress or the chick now or whatever, because that shit just got convoluted towards
the end. And that's really the main problem with this, is that you know what? I will give them credit, because we talked about this earlier, where I said this movie can do one of good two things. It can either go the generic route or go the fuck it route. And I preferred it went the fuck it route, because that's at least something different. I give it credit for trying to do something different, but you're right. The problem here is that it's too convoluted for its own good. It's going too crazy.
And it's simple. I mean, it's a simple fucking ghost story. There's no reason for it to get convoluted like that or whatever. I mean, you had... if you were building off from the last film or whatever, there was no need to add all this extra shit. There were scenes where, like, 20 years didn't pass and these fucking...
Yeah, that's something we should actually mention. It's actually told not linear, people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
which you don't realize till halfway through the film, which I actually found was a pretty cool idea if they just would have executed it a little better.
I think they didn't execute better because they had so much other shit going on in the film, whatever, to distract you from that little plot. That little plot element.
I agree.
Whatever. Because there's scenes where, like, they call in Eliza's old friend. I don't know what the fuck he was or whatever. And this dude, I'm sorry, I just couldn't stop just rolling my eyes. I was just like, he's trying to talk to Eliza by using his little dices and shit like that, whatever. And I was like, he does it like three times before it actually works, whatever. And I was like, is these niggas shooting dice? Because these black people cops would have kicked down the door by now, whatever and shit.
Yeah, that's actually something we should mention too. For people, because I've had a couple fans of the first one ask me, how's Eliza alive in this? She's not. She's actually in the further, and she does help them in the further.
Did they ask that?
Yeah, some of my friends at least asked that, and I had some people message me asking how that's possible. Yeah, she is.
Oh, okay. I'm upset. I don't remember seeing her in the trailer.
She's in the trailer, and she was in a couple stills that they released from production.
Oh, okay.
So, a couple people were asking me, like, how's she alive? She's in the further, and she does help the family, because regular Josh is stuck in the further, and this movie's about him trying to get out.
Yeah. And Eliza's there with him.
Yeah, because Eliza pretty much explains, you know, if you're not out of here by a certain time, you dead, fucker.
They go to some fucking magical spirit world of Carnarnia.
Yeah, exactly. So while regular Josh is in the further with Eliza trying to get out, the grandmother demon's in Josh like...
I would have sat in the bed and just been looking at that bitch like, really? A transvestite in makeup? You're supposed to be scaring me. As soon as she had opened up her goddamn mouth and started yelling, I would have zipped my pants down and stuck something in her mouth or whatever. Like, yeah, you shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut up.
I miss Herp to Derp. I missed Herp to Derp Darth Maul.
Honestly, I never thought I'd say that, but at least he was the only one we had to worry about in that film, whatever. And like, at least they kept it going with him, whatever. In this one, there were just so many, like, oh, there's this cross-dressing.
There's generic ghosts, yeah, except for the cross-dressing one, because that's just what the fuck mode. Like,
he was just wearing makeup. Like, it was like cheap Paranormal Activity 4 makeup too. At the end of the film, when they just had, I was just looking at that like, wow, what the fuck was this? I was like, at least they had some special effects as far as the makeup went in the first one of what was going on. Whatever.
And that dude, okay, say what you will about the first film, but that Darth Maul demon had the best scare in the movie.
I don't think so. I didn't.
Oh, dude, that. People,
you know,
probably
like,
know
you're
what
right.
I'm...
You're right. He did have the best scare in the movie. It's when they moved to that other house and he was doing the fucking hokey pokey in the goddamn window. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when they do the cut where he's just sitting right there, like, that made me.
No, he was dancing.
Oh, yeah.
That was bullshit.
But, you know, you're right. You kind of miss him in this movie because he was the only thing really threatening in the last movie. And without him in it, he's not really in this. But I will say this.
Because he was a creature design. He looked like a creature, not more like human-like. In this film, it just, everyone looked...
And I honestly
like
thought...
Nothing about them looked like creatures or monsters or anything, so like I wasn't scared of them.
That's the thing, and I honestly thought after the last movie, you know, if they make this into a series, he's going to be the one that comes out of this as a horror icon. It's going to happen, especially if they have him in the second movie, but when I'm sitting through this, I was looking for him. I was like, come on, where is he? I know his ass is going to pop up. They played his damn theme in the trailer, and then he doesn't show up, and it's like... What the fuck?
He's pretty much like a slave to this cross-dressing thing, if anything, if it makes it feel like that in this franchise.
Yeah, that's like kind of how they explain it.
Which is, I would say, like, I don't see how this Parker guy is the control. Like, because it feels like he's in control of this demon world, because everybody else just look like spirits or whatever, and it looks like he's the only one that's with a free mind roaming around doing whatever he can. The other one's just sitting there with bed sheets over him and shit like that.
Yeah, I have to ask you this. What do you think about the scenes in the hospital? In the design of them?
The abandoned ones?
Yeah.
I thought that was such bullshit that 20 years passed and that the hospital was still there with everything in it. I was like, that's just cheap just to have some shit move around now. Just
yeah.
Because like, there were still rocking horses in them and shit like that. I was like, oh, here we go just to have some shit moving around. I was like,
well,
okay,
it's funny because they actually filmed that in a abandoned hospital that's apparently really, really haunted.
In Chernobyl?
No.
It's
right near you, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's right near you, and it's number 3 of the most haunted places in America.
Where is it at, then? What part?
It's somewhere in the suburbs of L.A. I forget where. I'll send you afterwards. But
yeah, I was about to say, yeah, send me that link. I was about to say, if it's in the suburbs of L.A., they're quick to tear shit down over there.
Yeah, it's an abandoned insane asylum.
Only way that shit would be still existing in L.A. is if it's in downtown L.A., because they are known for keeping older buildings or whatever and just renovating them for, like, E3 and Comic-Con shit like that.
I don't know. I'll look up the link and find that for you, but... Yeah, they said it was funny because some of the stuff they filmed, that wasn't staged. Like, some shit actually moved on their own and they decided to film it.
Oh, great. Oh, my God. White people, I swear. You people, goddamn, you sit up here because that's one of the things in this film, whatever. Motherfuckers was just, what's going on? We need to investigate this, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I swear. When shit goes down, you just believe in the most superstitious, supernatural bullshit. Don't you think after 20 fucking years that building could be moving on its own because that shit's getting dead ready to run down? There's rats and shit running around here or whatever and shit. I mean, goddamn, come on.
What you just explained is black people logic.
Oh, my fucking God.
White people don't think about that shit. Do you realize why every Paranormal Activity is around white people?
First of all, I'm going to tell you this right now. Had the fucking Ghostbusters and this little quack doctor came and told me we need to go to this abandoned hospital to save this guy or whatever, I'd have been like, fuck that guy. I'm not going in there.
Exactly. So, there is one other cool thing that someone brought up, and the directors have been kind of silent on this, speaking about our favorite little Darth Maul monster.
It's probably, are you talking about the director, James Wan?
Yeah. So someone noticed how... At the end of the film, when Eliza turns around and screams, Before she does that, it's the same sound before that scare with the demon in the first one. So they think that if they make a third one, that might be, like, it might go back to him being the main villain, and the directors are like...
Well, James Wan, if they do a third one...
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
He's gone, so I don't even think they should do a third one, because...
You and I both know if it makes money, it will.
I'm not a fan of directors switching at the last, the supposed to be the last of the trilogy. Or whatever.
I'm honestly saying if they're going to get a new director, get Leigh Whannell, who's written the last two and who's been Wan's partner for the last 12 years.
Now, honestly, watching this film, I kind of forgot about the first film until it got to the end of the film.
Yeah.
Where damn near the shiny kicks in and then that red door shows up and I was like...
Here we go again!
Yeah, no, whatever. And Patrick Wilson's character clearly becomes Jack Nicholson's character. I mean, like, if you can't tell something's up with your husband at this point, whatever, this motherfucker's pale as shit.
So much to the point where they have him bust his head through a door.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just
like they weren't even being subtle about it.
No, not at all. Yeah, they didn't or whatever. He's using... And it's funny because the biggest character in this film died, too, and that was the baseball bat.
Yeah.
And I was like... That bat got picked up three times before he finally cracked that bat. He looked at it, and I was like, oh, no, not the bat. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, for what it is, I'll say this. If you like the first Insidious, more than likely you're probably going to like this one. You'll at least appreciate it for what it does.
Really? I think you'd appreciate it. I don't think...
Yeah, because it does what a sequel should do. It expands on the universe. It expands on the characters. It does it in a kind of batshit crazy way, but I give it credit for at least, to me, I'd rather have it go batshit crazy, because that's more entertaining to me than it's just, oh, he has a demon in him, oh, we have to pull an exorcism, oh, how many times have we seen
not
this?
When they already have an established story that they built up on the first one.
Exactly, exactly.
So when it goes batshit crazy, honestly, I think that's I didn't like the first one, but I think it's a slap in the face of the audience saying, hey, we're just going to make this now for kids and shit like that, whatever. We're going to just amp it up to crazy, whatever. Especially when people thought the first one, some people thought the first one was scary and shit. And going into this one, thinking like, oh shit, this is going to be like a, like James Wan is going to be a horror icon now, whatever, because he's making another scary. And then you walk in this shit and you just go like first 5 minutes already, like, okay, well, he didn't dumb dance down for me now.
Yeah, I can see that angle. I can. I didn't feel that way walking out of it. I just felt more like, you know what? They tried to do something different. They didn't succeed 100%, but I didn't want to see another exorcism story because, frankly, I think that shit's more played out, and I appreciate, because that was my biggest fear going into this, was that that's what it was going to turn into.
But they could have did much more than a fucking exorcist scene for the simple fact that they created a whole goddamn astral projection world and shit. So this ain't just simple exorcism film or whatever and shit, especially when you pretty much put sci-fi elements into the fucking film and shit. It's like, you could do something with that world then. You introduced it at the end of the last movie or whatever, out of bad shit nowhere, to be honest, too. And then you just bring it back up where people just go to sleep and wake up in this world again in this film, whatever. Why don't you do something with that then?
Yeah, I agree. I actually do wish they would have done more with it in this film. There's hints throughout that they're going to, but they just kind of don't. Until the last act of the movie, like the first one. And my saying is that if you're going to do a third one, just have it fucking be in that for most of it. Just get crazy. Just think of something good to do with it and go nuts with it.
I think the movie should have just focused on Patrick Wilson in that world or whatever, because there's a scene where he's...
I agree.
There's a scene where he's getting out of that world or whatever, and it starts like colliding and shit like that. That wouldn't have been scary, but it's more intense, and it probably would have added something or whatever. It's like, I gotta get out of here because this world is colliding on me or whatever and shit, and this guy is taking over my body fully or whatever. They should have focused more on that, honestly, because what I got out of that, I was just like, I don't give a shit about anybody. I was like, I actually like Richard Parker over here, whatever, the tiger from fucking Life of P1 or whatever, and shit. I was like, I don't mind him, whatever. He's a cross-dresser. He just wants to be free. He just wants to fuck men and kill women, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
Who knows? But what would you give it? I'm going to let you go first.
Give it a mighty old fuck it, okay?
Oh!
Yeah, this is some bullshit. This is grade A bullshit or whatever. And not enough alcohol in the world could have saved me from this catastrophe, because all we kept doing throughout the whole film was just listening to little girls scream at fucking strollers walking to the thing or pianos playing downstairs, whatever. And all we kept doing was just cracking jokes about the baseball bat and tranquilizing Patrick Wilson's character and shit like this and visiting the spirit world of this cross-dressing homo.
Damn.
Yeah. Very scary, guys. Very
all right. Scary. Well, the vitriol and anger seeps out of P1 today.
Pisses me the fuck. Because you already know I hate supernatural shit. And then when you just take this shit to a ridiculous...
you do.
When you take this shit to a ridiculous level like this and then pretty much just throw your fingers in my face and go, well... it's supernatural. And then you're supposed to sit there and go like, right, but you based this in a real world, so you need to explain some of this shit to me or whatever. Then you know what? No, I can't. I'm not going to give you any fucking credit for that. That was bullshit.
All right. I'm going to give it a high stream it just because there is a lot of problems to deal with it. There is. There's a lot of problems throughout it. But I do give it credit for... at least trying to do something different, because, like I said, that was my biggest fear going in, is that they were going to take a more real-world approach, not do anything in the astral production world and just have, oh, he needs to be exercised. That was my biggest fear going into this. So the fact that they avoided it and tried to do something a little crazier, I give credit for. I just wish that they would have put more thought and focus into not only the plot twist, but... where they wanted to go more with the actual projection world. Because I feel like this is that they didn't really know going into this what they wanted to do with that world. And I'm saying, you know, if they do make a third one, think about that a lot if you're going to do it, guys. Think about that area a lot. Because I forgot to say, my favorite scenes in this are like you. It's when Patrick Wilson's in that world and he has to explore to get out of it. So,
yeah, which comes out like the last 20 minutes of the film. You know, going back and saying, because I don't like directors hate it or whatever, maybe this thing does need a new director, because maybe, you know what, Insidious 2? Maybe, what's this fucking name? James Wan? Maybe
yeah, James Wan.
Maybe he didn't give a fuck when he was making it, because he's like, look, this is my last horror film.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I hate to say it, but I kind of agree with you, because it kind of feels that way sometimes, where it's like, if you got someone else who's young and full of piss and vinegar on this, they might do some crazy shit with it. And... know how to make it work because they've thought about it more fluently.
Yeah, because I think, like, he's like, look, I already made it successful with The Conjuring or whatever, and I'm going on Fast and Furious 7. I'm done with this horror shit. I'm done.
I gotta get myself in the mindset of crazy for that movie.
Exactly. So, whatever. Just do whatever you want with this franchise, because I'm gonna make a lot of money on it towards it, and I'm ready to move on to bigger and better things or whatever. So, it kind of felt... I see that now a little bit, thinking about the film now, whatever. He probably didn't care, really.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know... would I say if you make a third chapter, and more than likely if this makes money, it will, get someone new on it, get someone who has a really cool idea with this, and run with it.
It makes it seem, since we saw the ending of this film, would that be some straight-to-DVD shit, because the family in that one looked kind of unknown for the actors.
I don't know. I just hope Darth Maul comes back. Please, bring him back.
Well, they didn't kill him in the first one, right?
That's my point!
So where the fuck did he go then?
That's my point!
They was wrong.
Where the fuck was he?
Okay, Patrick Wilson roaming around in the spirit world, apparently this is where he lives or whatever, and he even went in the house. Where the fuck was Darth Maul on hormones at then or whatever?
He's was just, he just like, sitting there, like, filing his nails, like...
was he doing the hokey pokey again in the goddamn house? They should have just had, like, images of his face popping up in that dream world or whatever the fuck that world
was
or whatever.
Because that would have been actually good scares.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been freaking Patrick Wilson like, oh, shit, I'm trying. They could have had that.
That would have been great where it's like, huh, it seems I've wandered in the wrong direction. Oh, fuck.
Imagine that thing laughing at you, petting you in the head and shit like that, whatever. I got your script for... Insidious Chapter 3 or whatever.
Why is there S&M bondage all over the... oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. Insidious Chapter 3. The
watch
the
your ass.
The return of the transvestite.
But which one? That's the scare.
That's a tagline. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
What happened? I went into that place to get our son back, and something evil followed me.
Get out of my